Father, we pray right now that you would bless, Lord, this study. And Lord, how great it is, how big you are that we're here together by technology, the family of God here fellowshipping. And Lord, as we pray, our dear brother Waleed Shubat is to stand there before 5,000 people and to give a defense for Jesus Christ, for Israel, for the Bible, in the face of a very hostile audience. We pray, Lord, for his safety, the safety for all those that are there. And we pray, Lord God, that there'd be Muslims that would see that they have been following a lie. That the word of God would be open to them, just like Waleed, who saw the truth in the Bible and had to leave not only Islam, but had to leave jihad and come to the love and the grace of God. Father, tonight, may we as a people here in this study be touched by your Spirit. And Lord, may we be people of faith. For that's what we'll learn out of the life and out of the ministry of Gideon tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Listen, grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, then to the book of Judges. And we're looking at the life of Gideon, Judges chapter 6 tonight. And as we look to it, we're going to be in verses 33 to 40. 33 to 40 tonight, the man Gideon, and we're looking at a message that is entitled Using Your Faith. Church, listen carefully. Your faith is to be a faith that is to be used. Your faith is to be active. Faith was designed to be used. It was never given by God to be put on the shelf. Faith doesn't work that way. Faith cannot sit silent. Faith cannot be complacent. And in fact, complacency and apathy and lethargy and all these things that we hear about and pray that it never comes upon us are things that attack faith. Faith is something that as a believer, we come to know God and put our faith in him. But from that moment on, we begin a brand new life with God exercising faith. And from Gideon, we're going to learn a little bit more about what dynamic, healthy Christian faith is as we use our faith. And so, as you're getting ready to take some notes here tonight, jot it down if you would, some background scriptures. James tells us, James the man of faith, tells us in James chapter 2, verse 17, he said, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That is, faith would be dead without works. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, and you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works, James says, is dead? Then Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, above all, that is above all of our defensive weapons as a Christian, as he speaks about the armor of God upon a believer, he says, above all, taking the shield of, what is it? Faith. With which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked ones. So we know that faith is the number one shield to combat against satanic attack. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so the book of Hebrews provides a list of men and women. If you were to keep reading that great book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, it provides a great, great list of men and women who were mighty in faith and by faith and with faith in their lives. And your faith needs to be mighty. You say, Jack, how can my faith be mighty? Your faith must be mighty because, number one, God is mighty. He's never changed. The Bible has never changed. God's word is true. And then also, that faith that you and I have, we can build upon it, grow it, and strengthen it by the word of God. Our faith should be growing day by day. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 says, and what more shall we say? This is regarding men and women of faith. For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, and became valiant in battle, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. So tonight we look at this small section of Gideon's life, and he qualifies, as we shall see, for one that is listed in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of those of the lifestyles of the righteous and faithful. Judges chapter 6, verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But, I love that, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet, and the Abzarites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all of Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. And if there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground all about, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And so it was, when he arose early the next day and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just one more. Let me test, I pray, just one more with the fleece. Now let the dry ground only be, and on all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew all around on the ground. A lot of people know this portion of Scripture as a mockery, in a sense, as a rebuke against Gideon himself, the very star of our story tonight, because of his wanting to know God's will in his life, laid out the fleece and asked God to do these two opposite things in two separate prayer requests to bring about a sure answer. And people have mocked him for this. They, in my opinion, should not mock him for this. I thank God for Gideon. He wants to know exactly what he would be doing for God. What could be wrong with that? What could be wrong with Gideon wanting to discern and know certainly what the will of God is for his life? I think it's a great thing. You might say, well, isn't he the doubter? Isn't he the one who kept asking? And, well, wait a minute, what about Thomas? Thomas was a doubter. It's not necessarily wrong to be a doubter if you get an answer to put down your doubt. It is wrong to be a doubter and let it lay that way until your doubt becomes unbelief. That's wrong. Gideon was not a man of unbelief. He doubted about, am I hearing from God or not? I think that's a great thing, because he found out. And look, let's be honest. If we would only be honest, it's exactly what goes on with your life and my life. That when God speaks to us, you know, he speaks and sometimes in such a still, small voice that we can't discern, was that him? Was it Satan? Was it me? Was it my neighbor yelling from across the street? Who was that? God speaks to us. And there are times, and I'm sure it's happened in your life, it's happened several times in my life, that when God speaks, it's so clear. And then there's times when it's not so clear. What do we do in situations like that? What about you tonight? You're seeking the Lord and trying to get an answer, and yet an answer has not yet come. What do you do? This Bible study is good for us, for all of us who want to discern the heart and the will and the direction of God. Point number one in our study tonight is this. Using your faith, number one, verses 33 to 35, is applying faith to the word of the Lord. Applying faith to the word of the Lord. How do you read the Bible when you pick it up? That's what we're going to be learning about. When you pick up the Bible, what do you do with it? Do you just read it? Do you just do your discipleship time, as it were, your devotional reading? You read it, you look at the watch, you know, or the clock, and you grab your coffee and you run out to the car, and listen, you've only read the Bible and you haven't taken it in. When you read the Bible and you apply faith to the reading of the Word of God, what does that mean? It means that what you read, you are saying, God, put this to work in my life. I want faith to be alive in my life. And so when we open the Bible, we want to pray this way: oh God, cause me to apply your word in faith. And we do that, number one, learning from Gideon this way: to believe in him, that is the Lord, when he speaks. To believe in him. Gideon's challenge was to hear and to understand, to discern the voice of the Lord. And so when it says in verses 33 and 34, it gives the list of the Midianites and the Amalekites, these are the bad guys that had been attacking Israel. You know that. And had them under control for some nearly 7 years. But now, in our last study together, Gideon rose up, remember? And he was told by the Lord to go tear down the altar of Baal and Ashtaroth and knock it down. And to take a stand to remove the pagan altars from the land of these foreign gods. And so he did that. But in verse 34, it says here, but, that is in contradiction or opposition to the enemy's assembling an attack. The enemy's looking bad. He's looking big. He's saying mean things. We're going to kill Gideon. What do you do with that? You listen to the Lord. And here's what the Lord says. Here's what the scripture says. That the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. That is the answer for our lives. It is the answer for every epoch of time, every generation of believers, that the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, would be upon our lives. Church, remember this. Gideon went from the threshing floor last week, hiding out in the wine press, to a tremendous moment where God's going to use him powerfully. And it's very exciting to see. God's word is sure, and Gideon's going to find that out. Listen, his word is immovable. In Jude chapter 1 verse 20, the book of Jude, verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Building yourself up. The word means to stack, to mount up, to lay up. Faith upon faith upon faith in the word of God. When the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, what can you expect to happen in his life? The same thing that you can expect to happen in your life, in my life. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, we will be people of the Word of God and dependent upon the Spirit of God. It will be the Spirit of God that will come upon us. God will never send you out to do a job without giving you the tools. And in this case, the tool is the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God uses the command of God, the Word of God. Now, of course, Gideon didn't have a Bible to put in his backpack that day, but the Holy Spirit used the expressed will of God, the Word of God. God said, Gideon, do this. And the Holy Spirit came upon him to see to it that that would be a reality in Gideon's life. And in Romans chapter 10, you know this verse, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, talks about faith. And it's the greatest thing that you and I can hear tonight about faith, is that faith comes by hearing. That is what's going on right now with us, and hearing by the Word of God. Whenever you and I listen to a Bible verse, a Bible study, when we read the Word of God, when we hear it read, our faith grows. It is a supernatural act of God by the Holy Spirit coming upon our lives. And so Gideon, and our challenge is, if we're going to apply faith to the Word of the Lord, we need to believe in Him and what He speaks. And also this, number two, is to obey Him in what He has asked of us to do. To obey Him in what He has asked. Note this. Then he, Gideon, blew the trumpet. And the Abzarites gathered behind him, and he sent messengers throughout all of Manasseh. That's Gideon's tribe. Remember, they were a weak tribe, little tribe. And Gideon says, I'm not only from a weak little tribe, I'm the weakest guy in the weakest little tribe in the weakest family within the tribe. But Gideon's now blowing a trumpet. I think this is awesome. Did you catch that? He's now blowing a trumpet after he has torn down the altar of the pagan gods. A man who went from hiding in the threshing, coming down from the threshing floor into the wine press to thresh his wheat. He was hiding, and now he's on top blowing the trumpet. How can that be? Because the Spirit of God came upon him. Christian, when was the last time you asked God to baptize you, fill you, overwhelm you, come upon you? I don't care what term you use. When was the last time you found yourself crying out to God and saying, Lord, I must have your power. I'm dependent upon you. Let me tell you, you do that and you will succeed in spiritual things. Your Christianity will flourish if you are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it is the Spirit of God that will cause us, like Gideon, to blow the trumpet. It's the Spirit of God that will help us to obey God in what He's asked us to do. There's a often quoted and misunderstood verse. You've heard it so many times in Matthew 17. We talk about faith here and obeying God. In Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed. And I don't know, I've read that so many times and got discouraged. Man, I must not even have the faith of a mustard seed. So small. He says, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Have you ever heard that verse? You know that verse. When you read that verse, you get discouraged because I don't have that kind of faith. And as you look at that verse and take it right off the page, you think, well, what's wrong with me? But here's the key to that verse. It's the key to what Gideon's life is showing us tonight. God told Gideon to do something. Church, are you listening? Watch this. God told Gideon, do this. Gideon is going to embark upon doing that thing. If God would have told Gideon, say to this mountain, get up and go over there, then the burden of action would have been upon Gideon, not God. Watch me, listen, hang on. God says, do this thing, and now Gideon is to obey what the Lord has said or asked of him to do. We're not to debate it with God. I know we debate it. Don't we debate it? We debate with God. He doesn't want our opinion. He doesn't want to guess or have us guess about it. He doesn't want us to have our input into it. God says, I want you, Jack, to do this thing. And we're to do that in obedience to him because that's what he's asked us to do. Gideon responds as a hero in faith because he obeys what God says to do. Yes, he tests the water, but he wants to be sure. If God would tell Gideon, move the mountain, Gideon's responsibility now is to get up and move the mountain. If God says to you and I, Jack, you know, Karen, Mike, Susie, Roy, don't move the mountain. I want you to go and do this thing, whatever it is. Church, fill it in the blank of your life. What is it in your life that the Lord has been telling you to do and you're not doing it because you're afraid you're going to flop? You can't do that. Your input's not important. Mine is not important. God says, Jack, do this. I am to do it and do it joyfully unto the Lord. But Jack, it's impossible. Of course it's impossible. It's impossible, but not with the Lord. See, again, don't let that verse in Matthew anymore discourage you. Because if God were to tell you to go move a mountain, you're to obey him and go do it. See, we worry about the things that God didn't tell us to do. Oh, that'll never happen. How could that be? I don't believe it. Well, stop worrying about those things. Do what God has told you to do, and you will see, in a sense, mountains be moved. Maybe God is saying to you, I want you to step up and get moving in a ministry in this direction or that direction or whatever it might be. What's he saying to you? Do that thing. Don't sit and bicker. Don't sit and argue. Don't sit and debate with him about it. Go do it. And you'll see the impossible become possible because God will be the one doing it. Faith is not used to do what we want. It is used to enable us to do what God wants. I'm going to say that again. Faith is not used to do what we want. It is used to enable us to do what God wants. Do you think that's a good quote? I hope so, because I made it up today. I like that one. The Lord laid that on my heart. Jack, faith is not used to do whatever you want, Jack. The truth of the matter is faith, it's used to enable us to do what God wants us to do. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, they should have grown up and moved on. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk, that is spiritual foundational food, not deeper food, is unskilled in the word of righteousness and he is just a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason, here it is, of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. That's a strong believer. Thirdly, under this first point, applying faith to the word of the Lord is to rest in what God has said to us. To rest in what he has said. Now, the Bible says here to us that all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him, that he also sent out messengers to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali. These are the other tribes, and they came and they met him. God is doing amazing work. You guys, this guy goes from hiding out to being a leader now. You know what? Is that true in your life? Has God done that in your life? I mean, you don't need to confess anything here today, but the truth of the matter is, I've never read anywhere at any time, any place, that there are born leaders. There are no such thing as born leaders. Leaders are made. They're made when a leader, as it were, in embryo, a leader, as it were, infantile, is growing up. And how does a leader grow up? By following a leader. The amazing thing is you will become like the leader you're following. Your children will become like you. And then when we graduate to other things, you will become like those you are following. It may be that you're mimicking a corporate leader that you know of, or maybe it's a community leader, or maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood, highly respected, or somebody that is almost a hero in exploits for greatness. Maybe it's Abraham Lincoln. I love that guy. Or George Washington. Who is it that you're mimicking your life after? You say, well, I'm not mimicking my life after anybody. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You and I are programmed to do that. We talked a little bit about that last week. Now, Gideon, God is making a leader out of him. Boy, think about our young people today. I believe that our young people today are growing up in the most hostile age that Christianity may ever see in history past. I think the days that are ahead of us are very, very brutal days. And our kids are not running away. They're stepping up. Their faith is growing. They have valiant faith. They're bold. God bless them. Listen, Christian, you and I can always count on the Lord to be mighty in our lives. And he's doing it in Gideon's life, and he's going to do it in our life. Listen, you can rest because of this. Your faith, as Gideon's faith, will be honoring to God. And it will be real biblical faith. What a beautiful thing that is today to have real biblical faith. Church, there's a lot of faith out there, but some of it's in some weird stuff. To have biblical faith that had never failed you in life or death. And then you can know that you can live your life chapter by chapter, verse by verse, as you put your faith in the Word of God and lean upon Him, applying God's truth. I don't want to belabor this. You can mark it down in your margins there. But Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. I'll just paraphrase it. Read it later. Read it to your kids. Read it to your husband. Read it to your wife. Read it to yourself. What a great verse or portion of scripture this is. In Joshua chapter 1, here's Joshua. God has called him to lead 2.5 million or more Jewish people, the children of Israel, over into the promised land. Moses is now dead. They're going to get ready to cross over the Jordan River from the Jordanian side of the river today over to the Israeli side, promised land side. And as they get ready to go, there's an amazing thing that takes place. Joshua must be having, I don't know if it's doubts, maybe that's too strong. He's having fears, certainly, and the Lord speaks to him and says, don't be afraid. Why did God say that to Joshua? Because he was afraid. When you hear words like, take courage, why does God say that to you? Because we have no courage. Peace, be peace, don't worry, be calm. Why? Because we're about ready to jump out of our seats. So God speaks to us. And so God speaks to Joshua and tells him, don't be afraid, I'm going to be with you. Don't look at their faces. You're going to get all freaked out. You keep your eyes on me. I have a friend who's a pastor of a very, very large church. And he's been pastoring for 30 years. And he said he cannot look into the eyes of the people in the congregation. That's just his thing. He says it terrifies him. It scares him. And he said that he looks just toward the back of the wall, just over their heads, and it looks like he's looking at all of them. But that's the way he's wired. He gets fearful. Even though God has said, don't be fearful. I'm not fearful of looking into your faces tonight. That doesn't bother me. Or into the camera tonight. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me are things like this. When I'm going to share Jesus with someone alone, it's easy to speak to a large crowd of people. I had a chance to stand before Anaheim Stadium on the Harvest Crusade, and there's 60,000 people sitting there. It's easy. You can't see their faces. I can see your faces here. But what's more terrifying than anything for me is to speak to somebody alone, just them and I, together, about Jesus Christ. I get butterflies, my mouth gets dry, I start getting all, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I'm telling you this right now because that's exactly what happened yesterday. A couple of us went over to Cal Poly Pomona, and you know, the Muslims set up their witnessing booth there, and they share Islam from about 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the afternoon there every Tuesday. And so we went there to talk to them and to share Jesus with them. And right when I was walking up to Ahmed, I said, oh, God, help me. And I was terrified. But as soon as you cross that line, you know, as soon as you step over that line and you break the ice, as it were, we would say break the ice, God fills your mouth. I didn't know what, if you were going to ask me 30 seconds before I said whatever I said to Ahmed, if you'd have asked me, what are you going to say? I had no clue. But I knew God was on my side because I was in the Word. Having stepped out, there was strength there. Not knowing what was going to happen, only this, God would be faithful. And for a little over an hour, him and I had an amazing, wonderful dialogue. And he asked me, will you come back and talk to me more next week? And I told him I'm going to do my best to do that, but I will go back and see him again. I gave him a Jesus as Messiah, a DVD in Arabic, and he promised to read the Gospel of John for me. And I told him, mark the verses that bother you. And so he's supposed to mark these verses. God did that. What we're to do is to rest in what God has provided and not be afraid. We've got to do that. Point number two this evening is this. Using your faith in verses 36 to 37 is making sure it is of the Lord. Making sure that it is of the Lord. Verses 36 to 37. So Gideon said to God, if, or since, it can be translated, you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. So that's up on top of the hill. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. He's not unbelieving. He wants to be sure. How do we know? How do we make sure that the Lord is leading us? Well, jot these things down, beginning with this one, prayer. We must prayerfully seek him, always. Gideon is seeking God. Can you not see this? Of course you can. Gideon didn't run to his neighbors. He didn't run to somebody. He didn't ask for help. He didn't pick up a 1-800 line and called, you know, some Bible call-in program. He went right to God. God was the only one that could answer his question, and God was the only one that was going to answer his question, and Gideon took his refuge of answer in the Lord. And he says, Lord, now look, in our Bibles it says, if. It can also be translated, since. Since you're going to do this, here's what I'd like to know. I want to be sure. I'm going to have you answer this fleece. This thing that would normally be impossible. God, will you do the impossible to speak to me? And I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I just want to make sure it's you. And in a sense, this is a beautiful prayer. He prays and he seeks the Lord. I think that's wonderful. But listen, Christian, all of us, when the Lord begins to awaken hearts and minds, there comes a desperate stirring to know what God's mind is, to know what God's heart is. And that's only gotten in prayer, by praying and waiting and hearing upon the Lord. So here, watch this, everyone. This is important to us. God speaks to Gideon. Do this thing. Gideon says, okay, I'm going to do it, but can you make it sure it's happening in my life? Is this for real? And the process begins. You say, boy, I wish God would speak to me like that. I said this last week. I want to say it again so, so clearly. And listen, I'm going to step on some toes intentionally. For some of you, God is preparing an answer. You're seeking him, and you've been crying out to him, and he's going to answer you. He will answer you, guaranteed. You are asking him about ministry. You're asking about direction. You're asking for his perfect will to be done, and you're seeking him. He's going to answer you. But listen, some of you are asking God to speak to you for the sheer jollies of it. Some of you are asking God to speak to you, and nothing's happened yet. I got news for you. Nothing's going to happen. You want to know why? Unlike Gideon, you're kind of goofing off. Hey, let's see if God will speak to me. He will not speak to you. Just like he will not empower you by the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Because, my friend, you've got no trumpet to blow. You've got no Midianites to attack. You've got no nation to defend. Because you're not standing for anything. You're barely sitting for anything. Why would God empower you? For what reason? Why would he pour out the Holy Spirit on you when you have determined not to obey him? Not to go anywhere with him? God wastes nothing. Didn't Jesus say, wait in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you shall go and be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea, and the othermost parts of the earth? Did not he give first the assignment and then say, wait for the power to do it? So listen, I love all of you, but some of you, you don't intend to do anything with your Christianity. But you want to hear God speak. He's not going to speak to you. Well, I want to know if I should go left or go right. You've got to get desperate before him. God wants to speak to Gideons. And that's my prayer for all of us, that that's who we would be. But we need to pray. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. You say, how does that verse apply? Because in the Greek, it's a continuous tense. Ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. Knock, 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 until God says, who's there? And he's going to answer. We need to stop for a moment and think about that in our lives. What is the Lord telling you and I to do? Have we been asking, seeking, and knocking to find out what his will is in our lives? If so, what is he saying? Secondly, under this point, making sure that it is of the Lord is that we must willingly engage ourselves. We must willingly engage ourselves. We've got to get into the flow. We can look at the river going by all day long and see everybody floating down and having a great time. But if you really want to enjoy your river trip, you got to get in the water. You can go to the beach and look at all the people riding the waves and enjoying the water and the sun and all of the fun that we enjoy at the beach. But it's only academic, as it were, until you get into the water. A Christian has been designed to live and use and exercise his faith, and that is to willingly engage ourselves in this spiritual life that God has called us to do, called us to live. In putting this together, I thought about this. If there ever comes a day in the Christian church that the church begins to lean upon or rest upon or call for motivational speakers to get us involved in ministry, motivational speakers to get us to be givers of our money and of our time and efforts, if the Christian church around the world has got to bring in a motivational speaker to pump you up, then we are sicker than I thought. We have left the Holy Spirit in our lives. Can you imagine? To bring in a motivational speaker into the work of God? To stir you up? You know, those guys can stir people up to do anything. What's the option? There is no option. There's only a true relationship with God. The Spirit of God must speak to your heart and my heart about serving him, loving him, and being willingly engaging in what God's work is all about. And I thank God for Gideon. He is getting involved. And as a Christian, the bottom line is we're to be motivated by the cause of Christ. The cause of Jesus Christ. Whatever motivated Jesus to leave heaven, to come to this rotten earth, what motivated him should be my motivation. Jesus loves people. That's why he came. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 that Jesus loved us so much that it was a joy for him to go to the cross. I can't understand that. I just have to believe that. That's what the Bible says. In Isaiah 53 verse 11, the Bible says that the Father, the Lord, God, shall see the labor of his soul, that's Jesus, and be satisfied. And by his knowledge of my righteous servant shall he justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. God was pleased when Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins. So what should motivate me? The next Tony Robbins seminar or the next Donald Trump, you know, session? The very Word of God, the very cause of Christ should cause you and I to use these feet until they're tired to get the Word of God out and to love people, to visit people that are in the hospital. We have people in this church that are hospitalized. We've got people that are hurting. The ministers, the pastors, and the lay staff that's here at this church can't do it all. You've got to get engaged because God has loved you so much. It's what we must do. Making sure also that it is of the Lord this way, verse 37, that we must actively serve Him. We must actively serve the Lord. It says in verse 37, then I shall know, says Gideon, that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said. What a great word. Then I shall know. Then I shall know. I'm assuming that when you and I, like Gideon, know what we're to do, then wild horses cannot stop us, nor angels from heaven or demons from hell shall stop us. Church, please. Gideon said, then I shall know. And that's my prayer for my life. That's my prayer for your life tonight. Dear God in heaven above, may each of us in the ministry that you've called us together to perform for your glory, may we do that thing. May we hear from you as we seek you with all of our hearts, turning off the TV and off the radio and listening and waiting and calling out to glorify you, God, in our lives. God will speak. And you and I will stand up and say, I know. I know what I'm to do. And I thank God, for now, I'm standing here. I say for now because I don't know what God's going to say about my life in the future. But I just say that for now. I know that I am right in the middle of the will of God. And it's pretty amazing to be standing here and not be standing here. To be in UC Irvine as we put this thing together tonight. And to be speaking to you. My passion, my heart is to reach the church of Jesus Christ with the building up of His people in Bible teaching. I'm not a very good evangelist in the broad sense, but I do love, though it terrifies me, to evangelize people one-on-one, but to go to the lost. And I think that's why this current time in our nation and in our world and this oncoming Islamic threat to America and Europe has seized my heart so much. Hey, I don't want to blow anybody up. I don't want to cut anybody's heads off. I want to love them to Jesus. I want to lead them to Christ. I may not do that. I may not be successful at it. It may not work. But you know what? God told me to go do that. God told me to say this and to do that thing and to pray. And I got to do that. And you might say, well, I don't like you doing that. Pastor, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to go to Germany or France or Russia or Pomona or Irvine. We don't want you to go to Washington and tell, hey, listen, I love you, but I've got to obey my boss. And my boss is going to judge me in the end. And he's your boss too. And I want to actively serve him. Third and final point tonight, it's this, verses 38 to 40. Using your faith is confirming the will of the Lord. Confirming the will of the Lord in your life. You'll never know with deep confirmation what the will of the Lord is in your life without using your faith. It's not going to happen. Verse 38, we're taught this. The Lord will be clear. He will be clear to us, and so it was. Don't you love that? And it was so, I guess you could say and so it was, but and it was so when he rose early the next morning. I wonder if he slept at all. I'm sorry, but if it would have been me, I would have had my eyeball pinned on the fleece on top of the threshing floor. I would have been peeping out of my tent, peeking there. Is he going to make it wet or dry by an angel? Is he going to send over a little cloud and it's going to rain everywhere around, but on the skin? Or is it going to rain on the skin and not on the... I would have loved to have watched that. It's funny to me. I wonder if Gideon just laid there waiting and waiting and waiting like we often do. And it's like, man, should I get up? Should I not get up? Should I get up? Oh, man, I'm getting up. He gets up very early in the morning. And he goes out there and he squeezes the fleece. So he squeezes this animal skin together and he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. You guys, that's not normal. We're talking about dew here. Morning dew. He runs out there and he starts squeezing this chamois, you know, an animal skin. He squeezes it and it fills up a bowl of water. The word here for a bowl of water, a bowl or bowl full of water, it's a large bowl. This is a miracle. God spoke, answered his request. You see, Jack, I'm going to go home tonight and lay out a fleece before the Lord. Hey, listen, first of all, have a purpose, have a reason. Be desperate before God, seek him and ask him. But listen, I may get in trouble with somebody who hears this. I don't care because I got to tell you something. I personally ask God when there's a big decision going on, Lord, show me what your will is. Lord, do this thing to confirm to my heart. Now I'm letting you in on how God speaks to me in and through and out of his word. It may not work for you, but for me, I'll say, Lord, I've got these verses. I believe they came from you. This passion is burning on my heart. I'm not going to take one step until you confirm it to me, Lord, and here's the key. Lord, and in this case, let's just use his case. Lord, cause all the ground around the chamois, the skin, to be soaked and the chamois to be dry. Or the ground to be dry and the chamois to be completely soaked. And God answers. See, some people will lay out a fleece and say things like, they don't work, that's wrong, it's stupid, it's ridiculous, because... And they'll say something like this, God, if you're speaking to me, cause a red car to drive by. And they open their eyes and then they see a blue car and a white car, a white car and a white car and a green car and a white car and a white car and then a red car. And they go, oh, look, God spoke. And they go out and they sell their house to buy that stock and it crashes and plummets or whatever the situation is. And they say, God let them down. God cheated them. God lied to them. Oh, no, 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 no. That's ridiculous. That's like saying, God, speak to me. If you want me to quit my job, God, cause the sun to come up tomorrow morning. That's ridiculous. You want to ask God to answer you, ask God not to have the sun come up tomorrow morning. Like Joshua when they were in battle. God, we need you. Hear our prayer. We need you to help us in this battle. Cause the sun to stand still. Now that's pretty impossible. And the sun stood still. Some of you are going to have issues about what I just said. That's your problem. Go deal with that. Listen, I'm telling you, for me personally, it's been a few times in my life. God, please speak to me. If this is you and you've told me to do this, then I'm asking you, confirm that to my heart by this thing. And he's never failed me. He's done it so clearly, I got to tell you. He's done it so clearly that I've stood alone in opposition or in opposing opinions. I stood alone and listened to how dumb I was going to be for this decision. It's going to be the end. It's not going to work. It's not going to pan out. And I knew God has spoken, and I just stood there with my mouth shut. And as the months went by, then it was confirmed to others. I wasn't trembling. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't shaking in my boots. I knew that he had spoken. And you can be calm with that. You can be confident in that. As he brings confirmation. Also this, number two under this final point, confirming his will for our lives is that the Lord will be patient with us. And these next two points will go quickly. Patient, aren't you glad he's patient? Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. Can you hear Gideon? Please be patient, Lord. But let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece so he has the Lord reverse it. God is so patient. God is patient and he's kind. But notice that Gideon didn't sit idle. I don't think the Lord was saying, all right, Gideon, man, I'll be patient. You're wearing my patience then, Gideon. He didn't do that. Why? Are you ready for this? I think you know the answer. You already know. Gideon was going to do what he was sure about what God was telling him to do. Of course, the Lord knew that. Gideon wasn't saying, you know, make it wet, make it dry, make it dry, make it wet, and maybe I'll do it. He asked for the confirmation because he was going to do it. That's why God was patient with him. I think God gladly indulged Gideon on this fleece Because God knew that Gideon was going to act in faith. Remember that, Christian, when the next time you start beating yourself up. God, I'll just do anything you tell me to do. God bless you. That's awesome. Stay that way, Christian. Here's the beautiful thing. Don't you not want to know what God's will is for your life? Don't you want to know if God would have you to stay, to move to New York, or to sell this, or to buy that, or to go right, or to go left, what school or college or what career? Don't you think God wants you to know that more than you want to know that? Oh, God, please lead me. Lead me in my life. I need you to lead me. Don't you think God wants to lead you more than you want to be led? Oh, God, I want to serve you. I want to serve you, God. Make of me whatever you want me to be, but God, I want to serve you. Don't you think that God put that in your heart? Didn't Jesus say that your Father in heaven knows what you have need of before you even ask? But he turned right around and said, ask him. Wow, he's so patient. And finally we end with this, the Lord will be gracious. Verse 40 says, and God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. I love that opening statement there, or that sentence. And God did so that night. And God did so that night. The graciousness of God. Church, some of our friends, some of the body of Christ are suffering greatly with great diseases, great sicknesses, great cancers ravaging their body. And if you are in need, if you are hurting, if you're crying out, and you ask God to speak to you, and you are able to write down soon, when God brings you through this, God will bring you through, and you'll be able to say, and God did so that night. Maybe it was a long night of suffering, and the morning comes, and you can say, God held my hand through the night. God got me through. God did so that night. Maybe it's a difficult time in your life, or your marriage, or your income. And you just give it all to God. I want to tell you something. You will never, never, never be put to shame if you stay close to Jesus. And you too will be able to say, and God did so that night. That dark night of your soul and mine, when everything seems to be failing. Maybe that's not you tonight. Maybe you're saying, well, nothing's failing, but I feel so far from God inside. I can't explain it. Don't know why. There are those nights of the soul. You know, I've concluded that God tests my heart that way and your heart that way to see if we will apply the Word of God to our lives. You ever feel distant from God and you check all your bases? You're not sinning, you didn't rob a bank, you didn't bite the dog, you didn't, you know, chew the tree down in the backyard, everything's fine, you didn't cuss anybody out, you're not drug addicted, drinking, you're fine, you checked all the bases. What's wrong, God? I'm reading my Bible, I'm going to church, I'm loving you, what's wrong? You know what? Just stay at it. Shipmasters do it at sea, they stay the course. Pilots do it when it's turbulent, stay the course. Don't stop. Yeah, but I don't know what's going on. You don't need to know sometime what's going on. It's dark, it's foggy, it's scary. Stay the course. Keep going. You're going to arrive to the harbor. You're going to arrive to the airport. You're going to pull in. Never make decisions in that condition. God's gracious. And then I want to just end with this, just some thoughts. And you can close your Bibles even and just think this through. Using your faith, I wrote this down, is the greatest thing that God can call you and I here on earth to do. How will others be blessed by you and I unless you and I get our faith out there among other people? There is that something that you and I in this life are called to do, like a Gideon. And we better find out what it is. We must. There's people around us dependent on you and I finding out what God wants to do in our lives. By faith, there are children being fed in North Africa tonight because you didn't sit idle. By faith, there are missionaries being supported because you do not sit idle. By faith, there are moms bringing in newborn babies into this world they're trusting God to bring that child about. By faith, there's marriages that are going to make it through hard times because people are hanging on to God to get them through. And by faith, children are praying for their moms and their dads. And by faith, every month, this pastor looks to the Lord to pay the bills, to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, by faith. And none of you have received ever, nor shall you ever receive, a little thing in the mail about, would you like to have your check automatically deducted in your tithing? No, we choose to trust God. Could it be terrifying? It could be terrifying. Isn't it amazing? I trust God. But in a sense, and I know you trust God too, but in a sense, you see how dependent we are on one another in this thing of faith? We all come together on this. In prayer, in giving, in serving, in study, in worship, in praise, in witnessing, in evangelism. It is high time, church, as we end this, it's high time that we as Christians put on our helmets and be ready to know what we believe, why we believe it, and to give arguments for it. Let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would take faith that's within us. And Lord, I have to just, and I only can confess for me, I have such little faith. I ask you, Lord God, to stir up and strengthen and grow my faith up. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that as a church we would be healthy, dynamic, full of faith. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone in here tonight that needs prayer for anything, God, that they would seek that opportunity to pray and to ask you, that they would come forward at this altar tonight, at these steps, and that they would pray, get in on their knees if need be, to pray and to say, God, use me, God, fill me, God, heal me, God, fix me, God, do whatever you want to do in my life. Father, I pray that we would obey you, not trying to get out of the parking lot first, not trying to get home to this thing or to that, but to do our business with you first. God, that we might, with all of our hearts, like never before, use our faith. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. As Phil comes out, we're going to close in this final song.